first case for oral argument this morning is Tony Gertzma, appellant, versus State Farm Automotive Insurance Company, appellee. For the appellant, we have Mr. David King, an attorney from Sioux Falls, and for the appellee State Farm, we have Mr. Roy Wise and Mr. Zachary Peterson, attorneys from Aberdeen. Mr. Wise, I understand you'll be presenting this morning, is that correct? Very well. Mr. King, you may proceed, sir, and you have 20 minutes.
May it please the court, counsel. The issue in this case is whether summary judgment was properly entered by the trial court or whether material issues of fact exist which preclude the entry of summary judgment. And I would like to begin by setting forth briefly the facts for the students. 4 years ago, almost to the day, it was a day off school, Columbus Day. Josette Gertzma and her cousin Shane and their friend Shane ran into Josette's best friend Brittany in Millbank, South Dakota. At that time they asked her, can we use your ATV? She said, sure, you can use it. It's back at my house. The keys are either in the ATV or they're inside by the kitchen sink. And so they hopped in Alex Bowie's van. They started to drive out to the Hansen household. On the way there, they called again and spoke to Brittany and said, can we still use your ATV? It wasn't at the farm site. So she said, sure, yes, you guys can use the ATV. Well, they went over to Eli Hickman's, who is my client, Josette Gertzma's boyfriend, and Brittany Hansen's older brother's best friend. They went over there. There is the ATV. They go up to the ATV. Their friend, Alex Bowie, who had also obtained permission, hops on the ATV at the Hickman household, drives around, drives through the yard, drives through the driveway, goes out on the street, comes back. It's a dirt road. Next person to get on is Shane Gertzma. Shane Gertzma gets on. He drives around, comes back.
Let me interrupt. There's one fact I wasn't sure about. Are you saying that Alex drove out of the farm onto the road?
It's my understanding that Alex Bowie.
Is that what the record shows?
I think so. Okay. And then Shane Gertzma gets on it, and he drives around by himself. And the whole time, Jacob Hansen is there. He is working on a demolition car with his friend Eli Hickman, Josette's boyfriend. And then the third use is Shane and Josette get on it. They go around the yard at the Hickman house in the driveway. They go out on the road, right on the turn. He misses the turn, and my client becomes paralyzed from the waist down. And the issue is, again, in this case, is whether material issues of fact exist on whether or not Shane Gertzma was an omnibus insured. And there's two ways for that to happen. One is through express permission and one is through implied. Now, we believe that we have express permission. At the very least, we think material issues of fact exist as to whether we had express permission. First, there's a material issue of fact as to whether Brittany Hansen gave Shane, Josette, and Alex permission to use the ATV that day.
No, Brittany's a minor, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Can a minor under the law give permission?
I think in this case, I think that when you hand the keys over to a child, a 13-year-old, now she was supposed to be 16 before she was even big stamp right on the ATV. Don't operate unless you're 16 years old.
So Brittany's 16?
Brittany's 13.
Okay.
Her parents, her mom works at the ATV.
So she's not even old enough to get a license.
Correct.
But you're saying she can grant permission to somebody else to use the ATV.
And she granted permission to at least 18 different people to use that ATV in the 90 days that they had it before this accident happened.
She couldn't have even bought insurance for herself, could she?
I don't believe so, Your Honor.
So really, she's in a position where she can't drive with the ATV under the law, she can't get a license, and she can't buy insurance, but your argument is that she can effectively give someone else insurance protection by saying, you can drive my ATV.
Yes, Your Honor. I'm saying that because she, just like in a state of probate, had the control, dominion, physical possession of that ATV. In a state of, Trobah, you will recall that the father said that Mike Sylvester, he cannot operate this car. He's got a DWI, he's lost his license, he's an illegal driver. And the court in that case, even though he was an illegal driver, and he got in an accident which killed Mike Trobah, found him that reasonable issues of facts existed, precluding the entry of summary judgment. And in that case, just like in this case, you had a driver who shouldn't have been, you know, I mean, Mr. Joffer didn't have a license. His license was suspended for multiple DWIs. Did I say that correctly? That Mr. Sylvester, the driver in the estate of Trobah. So I think that answers that issue. And at the very least, I think a material issue of fact exists as to whether or not the parents granted permission, granted her the authority to give other people permission, because clearly that's what happened in this case.
Mr. King, isn't that the more precise legal issue? This is not an issue of express consent. This can't be an issue of express consent because she's not a named insurer. Doesn't it have to be, your case have to, for you to prevail, you have to prevail somehow on an implied consent theory, because she's at best a permittee from her parents. Her parents are the only ones that are named insureds. So I don't see, this may be a semantic legal argument, but I don't see how legally she could have given express consent under any circumstances.
Thank you, Your Honor. May I answer the question? I believe that she could, because the law recognizes what's called a permittee case.
That's implied consent. That's not express.
I think there is a reason, an issue of fact as to whether, A, Brittany Hansen gave express permission, and B, whether she had the authority to grant express permission. I think it's a question of fact. Did the Hansons abrogate that to her? Because clearly that's the pattern and course of the conduct over the preceding 90 days.
Well, if we recognize a 13-year-old has either authority for express or implied consent, how young do we go? We can't have toddlers granting permission to go use an ATV. How do we handle that?
I think that this case needs to be handled, as all cases, on a case-by-case basis. And I think in this unique case, where you have an ATV, which is a recreational use vehicle, it's not a car, it's a for recreation. And it's in a social setting, as the Howey Court said. In that situation, I think that this court would be well served to find that you can give permission in that instance. And if I might, I might compare that to the Raggetts case. The Raggetts case was very clear. Grandpa says no. No means no, 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 no. Don't ever give this car to anybody else. Everybody agrees that's the rule. And that's exactly what's at issue in this case. In this case, by their own argument, in the first, you know, they only had this thing for 90 to 100 days. About 2 weeks beforehand, they allegedly strengthened their rules. Prior to that time, they had this liberal, as long as the handsome kids are around, anybody can use it rule. And I think that that's what an omnibus clause is designed to do. An omnibus clause is designed to say there are additional insurers when you have express and implied permission.
No, the trial court determined that, make a finding or at least observe that there was a rule that only the friends could drive it if Lacey and Calvin Hansen were present. And then the trial court said it would also be a material deviation from the rule. Why doesn't that control this case?
Because the court accepted the self-serving affidavits that they prepared. The court, in making that finding, rejected all the testimony from all the kids. They rejected the testimony from Josette Gertzma.
So are you saying there's a material fact about what the rule was?
Exactly. The first 90 days, That was given out like candy. At least 18 different people drove that for the first time. Many of them multiple times. Joseph used it 40 times, on and off the premises. That was, and allegedly there was this Koepke incident, and so they allegedly strengthened their rules. Well, I think whether the rules were in place is an issue of fact to be decided by the trier of fact. I don't think because they say those rules existed that we need to accept that as a matter of faith, because I would think that's the only way we are accepting it, because all the evidence contradicts that. To make that finding, you have to reject the testimony of their own children. Their own children testified, there's no strengthening of the rules. There's no change in the rules. The same rule applies. As long as one of the kids is around, you can operate the ATV. And that's what happened here. You know, the three rules that they claim they had, you have to use it in the yard, we have to be present, you can't go on the street. They violated every one of those rules 5 minutes before this. Jacob Hansen left the premises, he wasn't around his parents, and he went on the road. That was an illegal use right there. They consented to an illegal use.
Yeah, but they gave Jacob permission to drive to that residence. He had to drive on the road to get to the residence.
Thank you. May I respond to that?
Yeah.
They did not give him permission. And when you read the depositions, you're going to see that I'm right on that issue. Calvin says, I never gave him permission to drive. Of course, the affidavits do say that. We gave him permission to drive. Calvin's deposition says, he never asked me. I never gave him permission. I asked the mother repeatedly, did you give permission? She says no. The only person that says he got permission from his parents is Jacob. Both parents repudiate that. It's in their affidavit. I agree with you. It says in their signed affidavits, we gave him permission. But I could cite you both areas in both depositions where they both say, we never gave him permission. And if they never gave him permission, it's actually supports my case, because it shows this policy that they had, that anyone could use this. They never really had rules. These rules and the existence of them were constructed merely to support this summary judgment argument.
Mr. King, I'd like to focus a little bit on focusing your argument. Are you saying that we should be concentrating on the parents' implied consent, or are you saying we should be focused on the children's consent, that there's material issues of fact? Or are you saying whatever sticks, you know, where do you want us to focus?
Thank you, Your Honor. I think the focus on this case needs to be whether material issues of fact are present, which prevent the entry of summary judgment, which I think there are.
Under both?
Under both. I think under the express permission, excuse me, Your Honor, there's a question of fact. Did Brittany give express permission? She says she did. All the kids say she did. All the kids reject that they had to somehow also ask mom. But Brittany says so. The second issue on the express permission is, did she have authority? Did she really have the authority to grant express permission? And as Raggetts and Estrada Trobaugh both say, as Raggetts says, if Grandpa, instead of saying no, 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 had said yes, 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 well, then the omnibus clause would have worked exactly as it's meant to. If you give permission, it's designed to increase the scope of the insured. I mean, that's what an omnibus clause is for. And the second issue, of course, an implied use. Again, I think there's material issues of fact. You have to look at the prior course of conduct of the parties. And again, in 100 days before this, all these other kids had used it. Without helmets on, 7-year-olds had used it. Friends had used it. I mean, and then so allegedly the use is so they need to strengthen their rules 2 weeks before this. Well, I think whether they strengthen their rules really is a question of fact. I think whether you enforce the rules is really a question of fact. I don't think Calvin and Lacey Hansen can close their eyes and cover their ears and not see any of this going on. I mean, Brittany Hansen's testifying after school, she's going home and driving it all the time, without the parents allegedly knowing about it. I mean, so I think under both issues, material issues of fact exist. that require this matter to be sent back down to the trial court. And I think the trial court adopted, it found that these rules did in fact exist, and that's the entire crux of their argument. And we don't buy it at all. All of the kids who testified reject that there was any strengthening of the rules, change of the rules. Alex Bowie, the independent witness, says there's no ever change of the rules. The rules were as they were the whole time. I would remind the court that Mom was an insurance adjuster. I would remind the court that immediately after this accident, State Farm Insurance called and took the statements of the of all the Hansen people. None of the Hansens mentioned any rules. None of the Hansens mentioned any change in rules, increase in rules. In fact, State Farm's initial position on this case was nobody ever gave anybody permission. It was only after the trial court ordered them to turn over the statements from their adjuster that we found out that Brittany Hansen had indeed told State Farm, yeah, I told them they could use it. So I really think under both avenues, express permission and implied permission, that there's issues of fact. And when I look at a state patrol bot, the state of Trova, the court finds that there's material issues of fact on whether express permission was given. And in that case, the person who owned and insured the car said, this person may not drive. And he drove anyway. And they still found material issues of fact. And I think here where you're dealing with 13 and 14 and 15-year-old kids, and this 15-year-old kid as a 13-year-old kid, and everybody in this, you know, there's all these other kids using it. Everybody knew about that. To not allow Josette, her day in court, to have a jury answer these questions. You know, did the parents, by their course of conduct, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil, by their course of conduct, did they impliedly consent? When I think it's terribly, if you hand someone over the keys to the liquor cabinet, if you handed the 13-year-old keys over to a liquor cabinet, don't be surprised what happens. They handed a 13-year-old, unlicensed, uninsured driver the keys to an ATV. She left it in an ATV. They gave it to her for her use. You know, it's amazing that it took 100 days before somebody got hurt. And it's sad that somebody got hurt that badly. But I think material issues exist, a fact exists, on both express permission and implied permission. I think that the state of Trova also says issues of implied permission are generally issues of fact. And I think we've got that case too. The dad, the father, testifies that Brittany and Jacob Hansen are both always fully authorized and permitted drivers of that ATV. In other words, it's my belief that he says, because they're fully authorized and permitted to use that ATV, that they can give permission. At the very least, I think material issues of fact exist, which preclude the entry of summary judgment on both of those issues of permission.
Minutes, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, the other thing with regard to the affidavits that were filed in this case contain truths that untrue statements that were repudiated at deposition. And that's another thing that I would like to leave this court with. When you look at their version of the facts, here's one of the reasons why I very respectfully believe it needs to be sent back down to the trial court. Number one, we have the statements they gave to the insurance company. That's the first story they told. Then the second story they say in these affidavits. And then the third story they say in the depositions, which repudiates the facts in the affidavit. Which one of these versions of stories are we going to believe? And also, that's their own story. But also, you would have to reject all the other deposition testimony from all the other children to buy into this rules thing that they...
Mr. King, you were briefed, or your brief asked that said the trial court erred in striking and not striking the affidavits. Is that appropriate in that remedy? Strike pleading, but I've never heard of striking an affidavit.
Is that the appropriate remedy? I'm not sure. I think the appropriate remedy would be to strike it, or an appropriate remedy would to say that because we're in front of you on summary judgment and you've repudiated this critical aspect of your story, you've repudiated at your deposition that I can't rely on that affidavit to support summary judgment. And I think that if this court allows that, I think you're actually opening Pandora's box down the road. People can put whatever they want in affidavits, and it can be repudiated and then still be the basis for summary judgment. So I don't know if striking the affidavit is the appropriate remedy, but maybe the appropriate remedy is, since you're fighting with your own affidavit and you're kind of disagreeing with what you say yourself under oath, maybe we ought to decide then that at least material issues of fact exist.
Your time has expired, counsel. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Wise, you have 20 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Members of the court, Mr. King, there are a couple things, Justice Zenner. I think if you look at Jacob's deposition and or statement, he said that Alex Bowe drove the ATV up to the road and came back. He never went out on the road. Jacob also testified that he was okay with Shane operating it. He acknowledged that he thought Shane was an idiot. He also said that he wouldn't have given him permission, that Shane never asked for permission, and he became upset when Shane left the yard. Now, for Mr. King to say that there was no rule is an absolute ignoring of the testimony of the father. Calvin testified that they had rules, that they were not to leave the yard. And that makes sense. This was not a street legal vehicle. The kids were not supposed to leave. The father testified that he had told his daughter when Josette was with her that they were not to leave the yard. That you can find at page 22, line 4 through 9 of the father's testimony. He talks about inconsistencies in the affidavits. If you look at the affidavit of the father and compare it to his deposition testimony, there is nothing contradictory about his testimony and his affidavit. Are there errors in the affidavits? Yes. Did we say that they had three children? No. We said they had two children because those were the only two children that were implicated in this case. It is not a material fact that they had a 9-year-old. The 9-year-old is not implicated in this except to acknowledge that she rode on the ATV with either her brother, sister, mother, or father. The trial court had it right. There were rules. There were limitations. Let me direct you to Brittany's testimony. When her attorney asks, Brittany, were there any limitations? And she testified at page 41 that there were limitations. They were not to leave the yard. They were not to let others drive it. And they were not especially to let boys drive it.
You know, with the summary judgment, the court has to take the facts in the light most favorable to the non-moving party. Was there also testimony that maybe there were rules, but they were not enforced, or maybe there really weren't very clear rules? What was there evidence by other witnesses that would have put question or raised questions about those rules and whether they really were enforced?
both the father and the daughter acknowledged that she was grounded from the use, that the keys were taken away from her, that her parents didn't always grant her permission to use it, and she wasn't allowed to use it when she was grounded. They were very clear that the control laid with the parents. To a certain extent, Brittany did have permission to say others could use it, but within the limitations that her parents imposed. And there's nothing in the file to indicate that there wasn't any limitation on that use.
But Brittany very clearly did testify that she was not aware of any changes in rules, and her parents never communicated any changes to her.
That may be, and I think we're splitting hairs here again.
I'm going to stop you right there.
Okay.
Because if we have to split hairs on facts, you're in trouble.
Well, that's true. So, I think Brittany's very clear that there were limitations. Look at page 41. I think it's lines 1 through 6, and you will see that her attorney at the end of the examination, not leading questions, said, "Brittany, were there any limitations?" And she lays out for you very clearly what the limitations were. Those were conveyed. Those were imposed. And the rules, if she violated the rules, she lost the keys. Now, what you're talking about there, Justice Zinner, is the cousins come over. And they're two boys. And they start tearing around. And the dad put an immediate stop to it. And that's when, if you look at Brittany's testimony, the father opposed the use of others, especially boys. And I think the mother even talks about that the boys were a little more rambunctious on the ATV, and that's why they strengthened that rule. Now, you can talk about what other kids knew, but that was not in the presence of the parents. The parents said it could only be operated if they were present at home, and it had to stay in the yard.
What about your Mr. King's analysis? It's like handing the keys to a liquor cabinet to a 13-year-old. You're responsible for the results.
Well, again, you're talking about, we're not talking about negligent entrustment here, Judge. We're talking about a situation where you have a contract, and the contract says only with the permission of the named insureds, not by permission of a 13-year-old unlicensed, uninsurable person. She was not legally entitled to operate the car or the ATV on the street. They allowed her to use it in their yard only. You have a contract that sets the limitations. Where this court has gone is to say, and I agree with what the court is saying, there is no question of material fact that Shane Gertzma did not have express permission. I don't know how you could even argue otherwise. I that's a given. Where we get into this issue is on the implied permission. And that starts back with Anderson and Howe, Raggetts, and Trobaugh. And what you did, Justice Gilbertson, in the Raggetts case, was say, we've got three different standards that we can impose. The conversion rule, which says once somebody else uses it, they're done. The minor deviation rule, which is what this court adopted, or the liberal rule, which I think is what Mr. King is asking for. If you let this case proceed, you are saying there are no limitations. We're to the liberal rule. Once permission is given, that permittee can give it to anybody, including a 15-year-old unlicensed operator who had never been on this ATV, had never operated this ATV on the day of the accident. There are no rules if you let this case stand.
Well, Mr. Weiss, how do you square that with the statement in Trobaugh that said that although the permittee was not the legal owner, and although there were some restrictions on her use of it, she was given permission to use the vehicle basically as it were her own. And the court then said, under those kinds of situations. It's a jury, it's a fact question.
Right.
I think what you've got to do is go back to Raggetts, and you go back to footnote 3. And in footnote 3, Justice Gilbertson wrote that to get by the implied permission, there are four circumstances that show implied permission. To avoid that harsh result, if the second permittee is operating the vehicle for or on behalf of the first permittee, that's not a question of fact here. They were not, Shane and Josette were on there for their own benefit, not for the benefit of any of the Hansons. The next is you can find it if the first permittee is a passenger in the vehicle while the second permittee is driving. That's why I specifically asked Shane Gertzma, were any of the Hansons on that ATV when this accident happened? And he said no. We now get to your question, I think, Justice Enter, and how you can square this with Trobaugh. Some courts consider a familial relationship between the first and second permittees of the named insured and the second permittee a material factor in finding implied permission. And I think that's how you square Trobaugh with Raggetts. Because of the father-in-law, son-in-law relationship in Trobaugh, the implied permission, I think, is a lesser standard.
But there's nothing in the language of Trobaugh that says that. It just says that by giving permission to use the vehicle basically as it was her own, it's reasonable to conclude that she had sufficient control to entrust it to another.
Okay. So let's talk about, is that what the question is? Was there control? Did Brittany have control? Certainly. Was that control unlimited? No. The parents had limitations on what she could do. Those limitations were clearly conveyed to her. She clearly acknowledged them in her deposition. Without any instruction, without any leading questions, she clearly laid out what the limitations were.
Okay, Mr. Wise, are you saying that this 13-year-old could give permission to others if it was within the limitation, but she could not if it was outside the limitation of the parents? I think that's where you started, but I think that's
fair, and I think that's what the evidence shows is that the parents were okay with either Brittany or Jacob being able to operate the ATV as long as they were present on and stayed in the yard. Whether or not the kids did it when the parents weren't there, the parents said that they were only supposed to do that if the parents were home. Now, granted, there were occasions when it happened that, according to Brittany, that they did do that, but it was not with the knowledge of the parents. And that's what you have to come back to. I mean, this is an insurance contract case. You're supposed to interpret the contract within the confines of the terms and provisions of the contract. The terms and provisions of the contract talk about the permission of the named insureds, not a 13-year-old, unlicensed, uninsurable child. I mean, one of the first questions, I mean, you had it right. Are we going to say that a 13-year-old who can't get insurance can convey insurance coverage to a 15-year-old? I mean, where are the limitations then? We just as well say, you know, Raggetts was wrong. If you give permission to the first one, it's permission to everyone. And I don't think that's what this court said. And that's not what Justice Gilbertson said in Raggetts. And the fourth item was, if there was a finding where a named insured had previously prohibited delegation, acquiesced in a repeated pattern of delegation, there is no material facts that would support that fourth fact. They didn't even know Shane Gertzma. They didn't know who Shane Gertzma was. They didn't know the kid until after the accident. There was no relationship at all between the named insureds and this driver. There was no course of conduct or pattern of conduct between the named insureds and Shane Gertzma, as you do in Trobaugh. There is nothing in this case that ties the undisputed material facts to either Trobaugh or Raggetts. In fact, Trobaugh and Raggetts would clearly indicate that under these facts, there is no implied permission. There is no coverage.
What about the 40 or 50 times that Josette was riding down the vehicle on and off the property?
Now, you have to look at that testimony, Your Honor. That's not what she said. It was my questions that I said, were you ever on the ATV? And she hedged. And I said, she wasn't sure. I said, well, was it 100 times? She said, I don't know. Do you think it was 100 times? No. Do you think it was 20 times? No. Do you think it was 40 or 50 times? Yes. If you look at Brittany's, it was 6 times that Josette drove it. But we're not talking about Josette. We're talking about Shane. There was no pattern of conduct between Shane and the Hansons. He didn't know anything about any rules. He came in there, jumped on that ATV, rode out on the road without the permission even of Jacob.
Is it reasonable to limit this strictly to what Shane's prior relationship was when you're talking about a bunch of children that had been operating this vehicle? And we're talking about a course of conduct and practice. That's what our cases say we have to look at.
Correct. And how many children are we talking about? There aren't the 16 that Mr. King alludes to.
And where does that 18? Yeah. I thought it was where did that number come from?
I think it's a number made out of whole cloth. And
there is Alex and Josette and Jacob and Britton for sure.
Right. The one cousin.
And the cousin.
Right.
Is that it?
That's all that I know of.
But and these kids are all friends.
They're friends or relatives.
And so they know what's going on. Kids know what's going on.
The parents don't. And that's what I keep bringing you back to. It's a contract. It's the permission of the named insureds. There is no express permission by them. You can only find implied permission. That's why you look, one of the factors is the relationship between the Hansons and Shane. There is none. It's not a father-in-law, son-in-law. It's not an employee, as in Anderson. It's a stranger, just like Raggetts. And the rules were there. And the kids knew what the rules were. You can look at Jacob's testimony. He was okay as long as they stayed where he could see him. He got really upset when Shane took off and went down the road because he knew his parents said no driving on the highway. The rules were there. The trial court had it right. The rules were in place. They were enforced. They grounded Brittany if she violated the rules. That's in their father's testimony. No other questions? I waive the rest of my time.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Wise.
You.
Mr. King, you have 10 minutes, sir.
Josette Gertzman's deposition, page 38.
Why don't you pull that mic down just a little bit? There you go.
Josette Gertzman, page 38, line 5. Okay, and on those 40 to 50 times where you were riding on the four-wheeler, did you ever once leave the farm site? Answer, yes. Of those 40 to 50 times that you were on the four-wheeler and you left the farm site, how many times was that? 20 to 30. I have a question.
Where do you come up with 18 kids? I haven't counted that high.
Let me do my best for you. We've got Tara. We've got Brittany. We've got Jacob. We've got Shane. We've got Josette. We've got Josette's half-sister, Nicole, from Sioux Falls, who, by the way, came up one time and was allowed carte blanche to use it. We've got Ryan Rademacher, Richard Pauley, Alex Bowie, Eli Hickman. That's 10, and that's off the top of my head. I wanted to address one thing, the knowledge of the parents. If they have no knowledge of anything going on, why do you strengthen your rules 2 weeks beforehand? Just a question. They didn't have any knowledge of any of this stuff. I would also like to address...
Well, that was because of the one incident with the cousins.
That's right. And those are two names that I forgot, Billy Koepke and Tyler Koepke. That's 12. I also wanted to address this issue with regard to the Braggetts case. Excuse me one moment. On footnote 3, you had also indicated that the couch had also noted a finding of implied permission where a named insured who had previously prohibited delegation acquiesced in a repeated pattern of delegation. And that's right out of footnote 3. And I would submit at the very least material issues of fact exist on that issue. This is an issue, you know, about summary judgment. Are there material issues of fact exist? And I know this counsel spent a great deal of his time arguing the facts of the case. And I think when it's about summary judgment, people shouldn't be arguing about the facts of the case. Because I think that if we're arguing about the facts of the case, the jury needs to decide those issues. Whether there were rules, again, is an issue of fact. If you accept what they say, by her own testimony, Mrs. Hansen said, we had a liberal policy prior to the institution of these three rules, you know, in the 2 to 3 weeks before this accident. But I think a reasonable, a material issue of fact exists. Did they enforce the rules? Were the rules communicated? According to the sworn testimony of Brittany and Jacob Hansen, there was never a change in the rule. According to the sworn testimony of Alex Bowie, no rule ever changed. There was no change of rule. It was never communicated to them. I would like to address the affidavit that they filed in this case, because I think it's much more than counsel would have you believe. When you look at paragraph 4 of their affidavit, which was the basis for summary judgment, on October 10th, Jacob, who was age 15 at the time, asked for permission to take the ATV to Eli Hickman's residence. We granted him that permission. Well, I asked each one of the Lacey and Calvin at deposition. I asked Lacey, did you give permission? She says, no, I did not. And that's on page 20. I asked Calvin, did you give permission to Eli? He says, no, on page 13. So I think there's a material issue of fact that exists on that. Issue 8, where we come for the first time, found out about this tritium of rules that we're supposed to accept as a fact. You know, Mrs. Hansen fought with that on page 8, on page 58 and 59 of her deposition. She would, you know, during her statement to the insurance company, she says, oh yeah, Josette wrote this. Sure, she wrote it. Then when I come to her deposition, oh, she doesn't really remember that. I mean, she's all over the place, fighting with her affidavit, fighting with her statement. And Shane Gertzma, they didn't know Shane Gertzma, didn't know who he is. Well, Shane Gertzma says, I've been over there, what, 6-8 times? You know, they're treating him like he's this redheaded stepchild they didn't know anything about. You know, suddenly Brittany's not the best friend. Suddenly Lacey Hansen says, well, we didn't really like our daughter hanging out with that Gertzma girl. Well, the facts are that Brittany and Josette were best friends. They slept at each other's homes. They, I mean, literally best friends. And now to sort of repudiate that fact, I think is not correct. I think material issues of fact exist. Whether it was a material deviation, I think counsel was arguing, well, Mr. King wants this liberal rule, Well, I think he's saying that to get off the fact that that's what the Hansons testified their rules were. It was a liberal rule. Now, whether there's a minor deviation of that, which was talked about in Reagan's, you know, a minor deviation or more than a minor deviation, I would submit as a question of fact, and here's why. I think that when it comes to minor versus more than minor, it's an area of gradation. It's an area of difference. It's like gross versus slight analysis. You know, it's an issue for the jury to decide. You know, was the deviation a minor deviation? Again, an issue of gradation. I think there's a jury instruction, falsus in lingua, falsus in omnibus. I think the jury is not bound to accept the testimony of Lacey and Calvin Hansen. I think they can accept it in whole. I think they can reject it in whole. I think they can accept part of it and reject part of it. I think that material issues of fact exist. I think that they can hear the testimony of Brittany Hansen and about her control, about her dominion over it. I think they can make a decision on that. That's what I would argue when it comes to both express and implied permission. But I think what happened here is totally foreseeable. When you hand over the keys to a dangerous instrumentality, which an ATV most certainly is, and they make great hay that Shane was an unlicensed, uninsured driver, so was both their children that they let use it. So were all three of their children that they let use it. Unlicensed, uninsured. State Farm, when it accepted the Hansen's money, accepted it knowing that that policy contained a provision for omnibus coverage. Accepted that premium knowing...
2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. Knowing that it's not just the named insurers that have coverage. By virtue of statute, state statute of South Dakota, by virtue of contract, expressly in the contract, State Farm bargained for with their attorneys were looking at that. They put it in their own contract. They bargained for insuring omnibus drivers like Shane Gersman. They accepted that. They accepted South Dakota law and they accepted that premium. State Farm isn't getting anything more than State Farm agreed to. At the very least, there's a material question of fact on the consistency of any alleged rules, whether they were allegedly followed. You know, we frankly, again, don't buy that they did have this second, you know, this increase of rules after the Koepke incident. We think that the rules were never really in place. Really, this case really is the obverse of Raggett's, where Raggett said, no, 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 no. Everyone in Raggett's testified, we understand the rule, and the rule was no. It's not the case here. Here, everybody testifies, kids all testify, yeah, anybody could, well, any of our friends could use it and look along as we were around, and they weren't doing anything stupid. Alex Bowie testified to that, Joseph Gersma, Shane Gersma, Brittany Hansen, Jacob Hansen. Parents are the ones that talk about this increase in rules. I asked the children about it, their own children repudiate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. King. Court will be in recess for 10 minutes.